focus on your word. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say, and you know the outline that has been prepared. You know the message that has been prepared. But Father, you also know the hearts of these dear people. You know where they're at in their Christian lives. You know where they're at spiritually. You know what they need to hear. And Father, I ask that you would please use the next few moments as we study your word and allow it to be a time of transformation. Allow it to be a time, Father, that we could not only hear from your word and not only be present in church, but that your Holy Spirit would work in my heart and in the hearts of your people, Father, that we might grow closer to you. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
When we're there in Luke chapter number 19, and you know, Luke 19, it's a big chapter and it has a lot of different things that we could deal with this morning, but we're going to deal with the first 10 verses of Luke 19. And in the first 10 verses, you find a very familiar story. Some of you, I'm sure, remember hearing about this when you were a child, if you went to Sunday school or something like that, the story of Zacchaeus. And you know, the interesting thing about Zacchaeus, I grew up in church. And I was, you know, in church from a baby, and I was in church before I was saved, you know. And I went to Sunday school, and I went to Christian school, and I did all that stuff, you know. And my whole life as a child, I heard about Zacchaeus, I heard the stories of Zacchaeus, but I never once in my life, and I can honestly say this, I never once have heard a sermon preached on Zacchaeus. I'm not saying it hasn't been done, I just never heard it. You know, growing up, going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, I never heard a sermon preached on the subject of Zacchaeus. I was recently, if you need to take him into the mother baby room, Estasia, that'd be good. I appreciate it. Thank you. I was talking to Pastor Anderson. We're making plans for him to come and speak for us, you know, and all that. And I asked him, I said, have you ever heard somebody preach on Zacchaeus? And he said, you know, I don't think I have, you know. And he said, I heard somebody make a reference to Zacchaeus, but I don't know that I've actually heard him, you know, heard a sermon on Zacchaeus. And maybe you have, and if you have, praise the Lord for it. But I thought to myself, I want to preach a sermon about Zacchaeus, because I believe that everything in the Bible is there for a reason. And I believe that God has given us His Word so we can learn from it, so we can understand it. Now, as we get into the story of Zacchaeus, you're going to have to understand a few things. You're going to have to understand the background of Zacchaeus. If you look at verse number 1, Luke 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And that's our character for today. Now notice what it says, which was the chief among the publicans. Okay, that's not a political party. It's not the Republicans, all right? It's the publicans, and he was rich. Now, you need to understand this about the publicans. Keep your finger there in Luke chapter 19. But go with me to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. And look at verse number 10. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 10. Publican, or the title publican, is actually a title of a job, or it's a career. It's like saying someone is a police officer, or someone is a doctor, okay? That's what they did for a living. But publicans were associated with sinners. It wasn't a job that was respected. It wasn't a job that people looked at and admired and said, oh, you know, there goes a doctor. You know, it's like you look at a politician, you say, oh, they're a politician. You know, they're not something you really admire. You know, you think, oh, there goes someone who makes a living lying. And by the way, let me just tell you this. All politicians are liars, okay? Doesn't matter what, you know, Democrat, Republican, whatever they are. If they're in authority in this world, they're probably not of God, all right? Because this world hates God. So let's just put that out there also. But look at Matthew number 9. Look at verse 10. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. Matthew 9, 10 says, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold. Now notice what it says. I just want you to see how the Bible associates this job. He says, many publicans and, you see what the next verse says? Sinners. You see, let's read that together. Many publicans and sinners. You see that? Now look at verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with? Now notice the phrase. Let's read it together. Publicans and sinners. You see how the Bible associates a publican with a sinner? Now it's interesting because a publican's a job. It's like saying, oh, and he went and hung out with the plumbers and the sinners. You understand that? I mean, this is not a job that you would, you know, want your child to aspire to be. Go to Matthew chapter number 11. Look at verse 9. Matthew chapter number 11. I'm sorry, verse 19. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 19. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 19. You're there in Matthew 9? Just flip over 10 chapters. A couple chapters to Matthew 11, 19. Notice what the Bible says here. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of, let's read it together, publicans and sinners. Are you getting the point? I mean, this was a job that's associated with bad people. Go to Mark chapter number 2. You're there in Matthew? The next book over, Mark chapter number 2. Mark, you say, Pastor, why are you having us read aloud with you? Because some of you need to wake up. Mark chapter number 2. And you got to get your Bible reading in. Some of you haven't read the Bible all week. Mark chapter number 2. Look at verse 15. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter number 2. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many, let's read it together, publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees, verse 16, saw him eat with, look what it says, publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with, look what it says, publicans and sinners. You see the association? This is not a good job. This is not a good career. No one ever said publican. They always said this, publican and sinners. Publican and sinners. Go to Luke chapter 5. We were in Luke. You're there in Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, next book, Luke chapter 5. Look at verse 30. Luke chapter 5, verse 30. Luke chapter 5, verse 30. Luke chapter 5 and verse 30 says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with, let's say it together, publicans and sinners. I just want you to see all throughout the Bible. Go to Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 34. Luke chapter 7, verse 34. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I just want you to understand this. Luke chapter 7, verse 34. The Son of Man is come, eating and drinking. And ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Luke 15. This is the last one I'll show you. Luke 15. Look at verse 1. Luke 15, verse 1. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him. I'll wait for you to get there because I want you to see it. Although you can probably guess it. Luke 15, look at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. The Bible uses this phrase over and over and over again. You know what phrase the Bible also uses? I won't take the time to show it to you. You can look it up if you'd like. The Bible uses another phrase. It uses publicans and harlots. That's not much better. I mean, do you know what a harlot is? I mean, that's not a good job either. Do you understand that? These are two careers. And the Bible puts a publican in the same level as someone who chose as a career path to be a harlot. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think many dads, you know, aspire for their young daughter to grow up and be a harlot. It's a bad job. You got to understand the background of Zacchaeus was that his career, his life was associated with harlots, with sinners, with those that were, Jesus would, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, he would say, you know, if you do this, he's like, you're not doing anything much better than the publicans do. I mean, it was a low level in society. Go to Luke 19. Look at verse 7. I want you to understand this. Zacchaeus was a hated, maybe that's a hard word, disliked individual in the society. When Jesus, later in the story, goes to the house of Zacchaeus, notice what the people said about him. Luke 19, verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he, talking about Jesus, was gone to be the guest, talking about Zacchaeus, with a man that is, you guessed it, a sinner. Do you see that? He was not liked. I mean, there was a crowd of people. And when Jesus says, I'm going to go spend some time with Zacchaeus, all the people were murmuring, they were complaining, they were talking behind their back, and here's what they're saying. Does he know he's going to go hang out with a sinner? Does he know who Zacchaeus is? Now, you may be asking yourself this question. Why was Zacchaeus so hated? I mean, what type of job could you have that people would hate you so much? Go to Luke chapter 5. We were just there, but let me show you something. You got to understand this. You said, what is a publican? A publican is a tax collector. That's enough of a reason to hate somebody right there. You know what I mean? I mean, this guy works for the IRS. And if you work for the IRS, I don't know it, okay? I'm just... Luke chapter 5, look at verse 27. But it's even worse than that. Now, let me prove to you that he was a tax collector. Luke 5, 27. This is not about Zacchaeus. It's about another publican named Levi, also known as Matthew. You may be familiar with the Gospel according to Matthew. This is one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ called this man who was a publican. Now, notice what it says. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican, do you see that? Named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. Now, the word custom there means taxes or fees paid to the government. So, Levi was sitting at the receipt of customs. He was sitting at the table where people came up and they paid their taxes or they paid their fees to the government. And Jesus saw this publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And we, you know the story? He followed him. And he became the disciple Matthew. You say, well, okay, I get it. So this guy was a tax collector. But is that really enough of a reason to be hated by your whole society? Well, you need to understand this, okay? Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, he was a tax collector working for the enemy. See, Zacchaeus was a Jew. Can you get back to Luke 19? Look at verse 9. Now notice what Jesus says about Zacchaeus, okay? You say, well, why can't you just tell us you got to prove everything from the Bible? That's all we can do around here, is just prove everything from the Bible. Luke 19, look at verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Now notice what he says. He's talking about Zacchaeus. For as much as also is he also is a son of Abraham. Okay? Zacchaeus was a descendant of Abraham. He was a Jew. Now you gotta understand this. Zacchaeus was a Jew. Okay? At this time, Israel is under the control of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire has conquered Israel. And Israel is living under tribute to the Roman Empire. Here's what that means. Rome came in, took over the land, and they said, okay, well, from now on, because you guys belong to us, now you're going to have to pay us taxes. And that was the punishment of losing to the Roman Empire. They belonged to the Roman Empire, so they had to pay taxes to Rome to be allowed to exist. Now, you gotta understand this. When the Romans came in and said, hey, we're going to make you pay us customs, pay us tribute, pay us taxes, and then they put out a help wanted sign, and they said, we need some people to help us collect the taxes. And Zacchaeus said, well, I need a job. And Levi said, well, I need a job. It would be like this. It would be like if communist China came over and took over the United States of America. And they said, okay, we took over now. Now everyone's going to have to pay taxes. Every family, every 3 months, is going to have to pay $1,000 to the Chinese government. And then they hired Americans to be the ones who would go out and collect that money. Do you understand that? So now, look, if we don't like tax collectors that are collecting taxes for our own country, how much less would you like a tax collector that's collecting taxes for the enemy? You know how they consider Zacchaeus? A traitor. You're a Jew, but you're working for the Romans. You're a Jew, but you're collecting money for the Romans. But it goes deeper than that. Not only was Zacchaeus a tax collector. Not only was Zacchaeus a tax collector for the Roman Empire. Zacchaeus was also a thief. So what are you talking about? Look at verse 2. Luke 19, verse 2. Zacchaeus was hated because he became rich stealing off his own people. What are you talking about? Look at verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans. Now notice what the Bible says. And he was rich. He's a rich man. Now look, when people are rich, people hate them anyway. You know what I mean? Because they're jealous or whatever. But this guy was rich. But look, this guy wasn't rich because he worked hard and got a degree, because he gets up early, he stays up late, because he works hard. He was rich. But look, skip down to verse number 8. Notice Zacchaeus himself admits to this. Verse number 8, Luke 19, 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have, look what he says, taken anything from any man, notice, by false accusation. Do you see that? That's Zacchaeus himself admitting to that. He said, if I've taken anything by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.
Here's what you guys said. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, which already we don't like, working for the enemy, which we really don't like, and then on top of that, he was becoming rich by making false accusations. You say, what does that look like? Here's what that looks like. Zacchaeus comes to your home. Says, I'm here to collect the taxes. You know, Communist China took over. I'm working for them. And you owe $1,500. And you would say, well, wait a minute. They said we owed $1,000.
And he said, yeah, well, $500 is going to me.
And you said, well, I'm not going to pay. I'll pay the $1,000, but I'm going to pay for the $500. He said, well, look, if you don't give me my $500, then I'm going to tell them you didn't pay anything.
Well, that's a false accusation. He's like, yes, yeah, I know.
Well, wait a minute. Well, you don't, look, you don't have any control over it. You either pay or you don't.
And if you don't, you're going to go to prison, you're going to get punished, you're going to get killed, whatever they did.
This guy was not only a Jew collecting taxes, working for the enemy, he was lying and becoming rich. I mean, would you, listen to me. If Zacchaeus lived in your neighborhood, would you like him? If Zacchaeus lived in, was your neighbor, would you invite him over for the barbecue? This guy was a bad guy.
And by the way, all publicans were. That's why they were associated with publicans and sinners. He was hated. He was not liked. Now, just to take it even one step further. Okay,
remember all those passages we looked at? Publicans and sinners. Publicans and sinners. Publicans and sinners. That was a reference to all the publicans. But just to take it a step further with Zacchaeus, look at verse 2.
Luke 19, verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was, notice this phrase, the chief among the publicans. He not only was a publican, he was the best one. You understand that? He not only was a publican, he was their supervisor. He was their manager. He's the one that trained all the other ones how to steal. You understand that?
Hey, this guy's a bad guy. Look, I don't like Zacchaeus.
Nobody liked Zacchaeus.
But Zacchaeus had a desire. Look at verse 3. Are you there in Luke 19? Verse 3. He, verse 3, the Bible says, and he, talking about Zacchaeus, sought. He was seeking for something. He was searching for something. He was looking for something. What was he looking for? Look what it says.
He sought to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was a bad guy. Zacchaeus had a bad job. Zacchaeus had a lot of money.
But he began to hear about this guy named Jesus Christ. He began to hear about this man who was healing people and preaching and thousands were revived. And Zacchaeus got a little interested. He said, well, I want to learn a little bit about this Jesus. And I want to see who he was and could not for the price. So Jesus is coming into town. Remember verse 1? Jesus walks into Jericho. Jesus walks in. A huge crowd. They say, oh, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. A huge crowd gathers. There's a huge press. And Zacchaeus says, I want to see Jesus. I'm interested in Jesus. I'd like to know about Jesus.
Now look at verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Why could he not see Jesus for the press? Because he was of little stature.
So what does that mean? He was short. Now look, I can identify with that.
You may hate him, but I have compassion.
Because I know what it is to not be able to, you're like trying to, like, can somebody help me? Can you give me a boost?
Zacchaeus is interested in Jesus. Now look at verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree, like a child. Climbs up a tree. Why? Because he has a desire. Look what he says.
To see him, Jesus. For he was to pass that way. So he tries to see Jesus. He can't see Jesus. Can't get anybody to help him. Because they all hate him. He knows. He says, well, Jesus is going that way. He runs up ahead, climbs up a tree, and he's just there perched on that tree because he wants to see Jesus Christ. He wants to know about him.
He wants to understand him. Now, look, here's what you understand the background of Zacchaeus now? Here's what you need to understand. You and I are a lot like Zacchaeus.
Then what are you talking about?
Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Keep your finger there in Luke 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1.
It says, Zacchaeus was the chief of the publicans. And that reminds me of a phrase that the Apostle Paul used. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. If you can find those T books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said this.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into this world.
Why did Jesus come into this world? To be a prophet, he was a prophet. To be a teacher, he was a great teacher. To give us an example, he was a great example. But here's why he came. Christ Jesus came into the world for this purpose: to save sinners.
Amen.
And that includes publicans too.
Amen.
But notice what Paul says. I love this about Paul. He says, of whom I am, make note of this phrase, or this word, chief. You see that?
Well, Zacchaeus was the chief sinner. Zacchaeus was the chief publican. Paul would have said this:
I was the chief Pharisee. And see, many of you would say, man, I used to
run with the gangs, and man, people were crazy, but I was the chief.
I was the worst. You got to understand this. Zacchaeus, in many instances, is much like you and I. And just like you and I, Zacchaeus was interested in Jesus Christ. Look, I don't think you would be here on a Sunday morning if there wasn't a little bit of interest in knowing about or getting to see or getting to understand Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Many of us are like Zacchaeus. Many of us are chiefs. Look, there are men in this room right now who have wives that may love them, but by and large have lost a lot of respect for them because of their sin. And you know, that individual may not say it out loud, but he would say, I just feel like the chief sinner. I feel like the worst of the worst. There are women here who, because of their past, maybe a sin, an unfaithfulness or something like that, a husband may have left them, a husband may have abandoned them. They may feel like, I'm hated. You may feel like Zacchaeus. There are parents here who, unfortunately, for drugs or alcohol or money or for whatever reason, ignored their kids, weren't good parents to their kids, and now may have adult children that hold it against them. You say, well, they're kind to me, and they talk to me, and they see me, but I know deep down inside that they feel like they were ripped off of a parent. You may feel like a chief sinner. That's how Zacchaeus felt. Do you understand what it is to feel like everybody hates you? There are people who have a past. Maybe it's crime. Because of our society, you have a record that you're not going to get rid of. That's going to follow you every job you go, every interview you go. There are broken friendships. If we were honest, we could all look back at times when we took advantage of a relationship or of an individual for one reason, our personal advantage. And you and I would be able to identify with Zacchaeus. Because that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. But if you're here, you're interested in Christ. Now, you got to understand this. You may have come to church. And look, I'm not minimizing church attendance. I'm glad you're in church. But you need to understand, this is just the beginning. Zacchaeus was interested in Jesus Christ. And look, Zacchaeus had to overcome some obstacles to be able to see Jesus Christ. Remember? He couldn't see. So he runs up, climbs up a tree. Look, he overcame some obstacles. And there are some of you sitting right here who overcame some obstacles just to be here this morning. Some of you had to fight with your family just to be able to come. Some of you had to fight other things. Bondage and sin and debt or whatever. Look, I'm not minimizing church attendance. I'm not minimizing you coming. But you got to understand, when you come to a place like this and you say, well, I've got a past and I've got a sin and people don't like me and people are holding against me and they don't understand, you know, what I'm going through. And you come here and you climb up that tree. You say, well, it took me some time to get here and it took me some ingenuity. But I'm here because I want to know and learn about Jesus Christ. I commend you for that. But you need to understand that. That's just the beginning. See, salvation, the goal, here, I have one thought. If you could grasp this one thought, sermon will be successful. The goal of salvation is transformation. We as Baptists, we get this idea because we preach that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. And praise the Lord for it, it is. We preach that salvation is a gift. You receive it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. And praise the Lord, it is. We preach that once you have it, it's eternal life. It'll last forever because God cannot lie. And if God promised to give you eternal life, the moment you believe, which He did, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, then He's never going to take it away, no matter what you do. You know, you are secure in Jesus Christ. And that's true. We'll be preaching on that tonight. But you guys understand this. this idea that I got saved to avoid hell, I got saved so that I could be acquitted of my sins, I got saved to avoid a punishment, that's just the beginning. The goal of salvation is not for you to go to heaven, although that's a great part of it. The goal of salvation is transformation in your life.
Amen.
And you know what we find in the story of Zacchaeus is that Zacchaeus is a transformed life. Jesus did more for Zacchaeus than allow him to catch a glimpse of him. Are you there in Luke 19? Look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, now I want you to notice what Zacchaeus says. The half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now you need to understand this, okay? Look at verse number 7, Luke 19 and verse 7. This is what the people said. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. So the people said, does Jesus know where he's going? That guy is a sinner. Doesn't he know? That guy, he's a tax collector. He works for the Romans. He's a traitor. He's a thief. He's a crook. He's a liar. He became rich off of our backs. And that guy, that's a bad guy. He's a sinner. He hangs out with the harlot. I mean, he might as well be a harlot. And Jesus takes this man. And at the end of the story, you got this man whose major sin had to do with finances. And this man is giving away half of his riches. He's making good what he had done wrong. Now, look at the last part of verse 8. He said, I restore him fourfold. You know what that means? He said, I restore. He said, if I stole from you, he said, I stole $100 from you, I'm going to pay back four times what I stole. I stole $100 from you, I'm going to give you $400. I stole $1,000 from you, I'm going to give you $4,000. I mean, this guy is putting his money where his mouth is. This is a transformed life. The goal of salvation is transformation. You got to understand. You got to understand this. Jesus doesn't want you to observe him. Although that's a good start. Jesus wants to transform you. Keep your finger there in Luke 19. Go to Romans chapter 12, just real quickly. Romans chapter 12. We saw these verses last week, but I want you to see it again. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, I want you to see it, Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Here's the goal, that be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says the goal for your life is that you be transformed. Is that when you got saved, you looked one way. You acted one way. You did one thing. But after salvation, it's a different thing. Amen. It's a different man. It's a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. All things are become new. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. You're there in Romans. You got 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 6. Philippians chapter number 1. Verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that God is working on you? And he's going to perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. You say, Pastor, what do you want us to know? Here's what I want you to know. Salvation, the goal of salvation is transformation. Now, you may be wondering, well, why do I need to know that? Why does it matter? Here's why it matters. Many people come to church, not necessarily because they want to get saved. They need help with their marriage. They need help with their finances. They need help raising their children. They need help with bondage in their lives, sin in their lives. Their lives are falling apart. They need help. And here's a mistake most people make. They think, I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning, and I may go to church again another Sunday morning. And I may go to church again another Sunday morning. And hopefully that's going to change my life. And I'm here to tell you, praise the Lord for you getting up on that tree to see Jesus, but observing Jesus Christ will not change your life. Jesus said, learn of me. But learning about Jesus will not change your life. Getting on a tree and watching Jesus pass by week after week after week. The goal is to go from observation to transformation.
You say, well, how do I do that? Well, how did Zacchaeus do it? Go back to Luke 19.
How do we help you transform? We need to understand this. Luke 19, and look at verse number 5. Luke 19 and verse 5.
And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, don't miss this phrase, I must abide at thy house. Jesus said, today, Zacchaeus, we're going to move from your interest in Jesus, from your wanting to see Jesus, from your observation of Jesus. He's saying, Zacchaeus, I'm glad you're up there in that tree. I hope you're comfortable. I hope you got to see a good view and a good glimpse. I hope you got to see what we're doing here. But let's transfer from you seeing what's happening to taking it into your house. You understand that? The Pastor Ben is, I need a life change. I need something to happen in my life. Here's how it's going to happen. When you transfer whatever happens in this tree, whatever you observe in this tree, whatever you get to see around here, when you come to church and we reveal Jesus Christ to you and he passes by week after week and you glimpse it and you look at it, when you take that home with you,
amen.
That's when your life begins to change.
Amen.
Go to Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 4. See, people have this idea. I go to church Sunday morning, and that makes me religious. Religion isn't going to help you. Look, I'm not against religion. The Bible says the Bible uses the word religion in a positive way. But I'm here to tell you, you need to take this home. He said, the only way we're going to make a difference, Zacchaeus, is when I go home with you. It's not enough to watch. It's not enough to look. Are you there, Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 4. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Colossians 3, 4 says this. When Christ. Can we read the next phrase together, the next four words? Who is our life? Can that be said of your life? Is Jesus Christ something you do on Sunday mornings? Is Jesus Christ something you do on Easter and Christmas? Is Jesus Christ something you do every once in a while when you kind of feel like, I'm trying to finally show my face at church now? Or is he your life?
Amen.
Because see, the amount of time that you spend with Jesus at home outside of this tree will determine the amount of transformation that happens in your life. Salvation is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Salvation is forgiveness of sins. We understand that. But for your life to change, you're going to have to hear. There, some of you are sitting listening to me right now. There are people who come to this church, they said, I'm never. Pastor, you know, that whole soul winning thing is for you, but that's not for me. And then they started reading their Bible. And we caught them on that 9 chapters a day. You know, we tricked them into taking this home. And they started reading their Bible at home. And they thought, well, maybe I will try that soul winning thing. Some people think, well, you know, tithing's not for me, Pastor. I mean, I understand the principle of tithing, but I just don't think I can afford it. And then you took Jesus home with you.
Started by faith giving that amount that belongs to God.
I'm just. You say what? But, you know, you may be coming here. You're like, Pastor, I really like this church. This is nice. Everybody's friendly. You know, everything's good. But you know, you got some radical people here.
I know.
I mean, you got some people here that show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning. They minister. They do this. They do that. They give. They work. What's wrong with these people?
They took Jesus home. That's what's wrong with them.
Amen. Let me warn you. It'll transform your life.
Amen.
But people will think it's weird. People will use these words, peculiar. They'll say, that's different. They'll say, they used to be like us. Yeah, what happened is, like we talked about last week, you came out from among them.
A transformation in your life happens. Look, I'm glad you're comfortable at the tree here, Verity Baptist Church.
But the challenge for you is, like Jesus challenged Zacchaeus, why don't you come down and take it home? Why don't you spend time fellowshipping with Christ at home?
It's the only way to change your life. We can't preach enough Bible. I can't preach enough sermons. I don't have enough illustrations to change your life in a 45-minute to 1-hour session once a week. You've got to take it home with you.
You say, well, what can we do to help others? Notice what Jesus did. Go back to Luke 19. Luke 19. I think this is interesting. This is a miracle of sorts. I don't know if you caught it. The Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus had ever met Zacchaeus physically.
We know Jesus Christ is God. Zacchaeus sees Jesus. And he's interested in Jesus. And he said, I wish I could see him, but all these tall people would just get on my nerves.
Yeah, I know.
And he runs up ahead and climbs on a tree and he's perched there and he's looking and he's waiting.
But here's what's interesting. We saw it over and over again. He sought to see Jesus. He went to see Jesus. He wanted to look at Jesus. Zacchaeus had one goal. He wanted to see Jesus. But notice what happens. Luke 19. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, so Jesus is walking, comes to the place where Zacchaeus, look what it says. It says, he looked up. I mean, could you imagine, wouldn't that catch you off guard? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't just expect random people in trees as I'm walking down the street. Jesus is walking down the street, and he just looks up. Now, look what it says. And saw him. You say, well, I went looking for Jesus. You know that Jesus saw you before you saw him?
Right.
People say, I found Jesus. I didn't know he was lost. You were lost, my friend.
Right.
He found you.
Right.
He said, and Jesus came to that place. He looked up and saw him and said unto him. Now notice what he says. Okay, they never met before. Jesus looks up and says, Zacchaeus. Would that caught you off guard? Now listen to me. That would have caught me off guard. And I'm a likable guy. Right? I don't think Zacchaeus had probably heard anybody say his name in the recently. You understand that? As our churches began to grow and grow, I go out to the store, whatever. I'll run an errand for my wife, and I'll go get something at the store. You know, on the way home, I'll stop by and get something. And I'm constantly now just seeing people at the grocery store that from our church, you know. And some of them don't come anymore. I'm always like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, what? It's okay. I know he got back to the mall. We still love that. But, you know, others will be like, hey, pastor, how you doing? You know? Here's Zacchaeus. You know, Jesus, Zacchaeus. Now, notice what he says. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. For today, notice what Jesus said. I must abide at thy house. Now, I like Jesus. You know, people ask themselves, you guys go out soul winning, and you knock on people's doors, and you try to give the gospel. Isn't that kind of pushing yourself on them? I mean, aren't you kind of inviting yourself into their life? Did Jesus not invite himself into Zacchaeus' life? He knows what Jesus said. I must abide at thy house. He said, I'm inviting myself over, Zacchaeus. Notice verse 6. And he made haste and came down. He wasn't bothered. He wasn't thinking, oh man, Jesus wants to come over now. The house is a mess. No, notice. And look at the last phrase of verse 6. And received him joyfully. You got to understand this. Don't let this pass you. Zacchaeus was a tax collector working for the enemy, making riches off stealing off his neighbors. You think Zacchaeus had been invited to any barbecues, honestly? You think Zacchaeus had anybody say, hey, I want to spend some time with you, Zacchaeus? I'd like to come over, Zacchaeus. I'd like to get to know you, Zacchaeus. I'd like you to come to my kid's birthday party, Zacchaeus. Other than his wife and children, and probably they had very little respect for him, Zacchaeus probably didn't have a lot of friends. And when Jesus walks by and says, hey Zacchaeus, I see you there, and I'd like to spend the afternoon with you, the Bible says he received him joyfully. He says, somebody wants to spend it. I'm here to tell you. You say, Pastor Jimenez, how are we going to make an impact on this community? How are we going to help the people that need Jesus Christ? How are we going to help people have transformed life? You need to understand this. We need to learn to love those and greet those and care for those that no one else does.
Right.
You understand that? There are people struggling with drugs. There are people struggling with alcohol. There are people struggling with pornography. There are people struggling with stealing, lying, adultery, whatever it is. And their families don't respect them. And their families don't love them. And their families don't want them around. And their neighbors don't want them. And their friends don't want them. And they say, yeah, you know, that guy is this. And that guy is that. And nobody wants them. And they should come here and find a group of people that says, hey, we'll take you in.
Amen.
We'll love you. We'll pray. Look, I'm not talking about condoning sin. We preach pretty hard against sin around here.
Amen.
But the Bible, you got to understand, keep your finger there. Go to John chapter 3. You're there in Luke. John chapter 3. Let me just give you some insight into the ministry of Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 17. John chapter 3, verse 17. John 3, and by the way, don't ever, you know, look at someone and the way they're dressed, and because they don't meet your criteria, and you look down your nose at them. You accept people. You love people. You pray for people. The Bible says, John 3:17, the Bible says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." Look, Jesus did not come to condemn the world. Now let me say this, the world was already condemned. The wrath of God abideth on them. You understand, people come in here, they don't need a guilt trip, they're already guilty. And I'm not talking about minimizing sin. I'm not talking about condoning sin. We will preach against sin. We will call out sin. The Bible says that it's our job to preach the word, be in season, out of season. We will do that. But I'm here to tell you, we're not here to condemn anyone. We're not here to look down on anyone. We are here to love people and help people and bring salvation to them. And part of that salvation is a transformed life. Amen. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Zacchaeus is a perfect example of a transformed life. Go back to Luke 19. We're almost done. Look at verse number 7. Luke 19, verse 7. Luke 19, verse 7. "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." He said, does Jesus know who he's going with? That guy's a publican. And more than that, he's the chief of the publicans. Look at verse 8. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusations. I restore him fourfold." This was a new man. Now let me just deal with a difficult verse. Verse 9. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." Now, this is a verse that sometimes people may shy away from. They may shy away. In fact, Pastor Anderson, I was talking to him about any comment. He said, verse 9 is probably the reason we haven't heard a lot of preachers on Zacchaeus, because a lot of preachers probably don't want to deal with that subject. Because it says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to his house." Now, here's what you're going to say. In verse 8, he says, "I'm going to financially do this. I'm going to give this much. I'm going to restore this much." And then verse 9, Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to his house." And some people may take that and say, "See, you got to repent of your sins to be saved. And you got to give money. And you got to do this." And they might try to add a work salvation into it. Now, I don't have time to deal with it. We've dealt with it a lot. The Bible says salvation is not of works. The Bible says it's not salvation. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done.
Amen.
But by His mercy He saved us.
Amen.
So obviously, He wasn't saved because He gave money. But I think what puts it all together is verse 10. I never really noticed that verse 10 is in the context of the story of Zacchaeus. Verses 1 through 9 is the story of Zacchaeus. In verse 10, Jesus says this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You say, "Pastor Ben, are you saying that him giving money got him saved?" No. Everybody gets saved the same way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm saying this. When someone meets Jesus, accept the invitation of Jesus, and begins to walk with Jesus, takes him home in his home life, the product of that may be a transformation that no one's ever seen. See, it wasn't... Zacchaeus' sin problem was financial. He had loved money. So it makes sense that when his life was transformed, he made right the financial debts that he had brought. But if Zacchaeus was a drunk, maybe it would say that he was sober. If Zacchaeus was an addict, maybe it would say that he was sober. If Zacchaeus was whatever sin it was the transformation that Jesus brought to that life. And I'm here to tell you, when it happened, when they looked at it, and when they saw it, Jesus, the statement he makes, he says, "The Son of Man has come to speak and to say that which was lost." Here's what Jesus was saying. The life was transformed. And Jesus said, "Well, that's exactly what I came to do."
Amen.
Because the goal of salvation, you got to remember, is transformation. That's the end goal. He said, "That's exactly what I want to do. I want to save, I want to seek, I want to save the lost." Would you imagine with me for just one moment? Would you just imagine the impact that you and I could have on a community? The impact that you could have on your family? The impact that you could have at your work, at your job? Could you just envision a husband that went home and acknowledged where he has failed, and not gave lip service, but by his actions began to make up those things that he had done wrong? Fourfold.
See, Zacchaeus was putting his money where his mouth was. Could you imagine how transformed your marriage may be if a wife who was disrespectful, who was not doing her job, who was not taking her part in the marriage, said, "You know what? I'm gonna stop. You know, just talking about all this stuff and dealing with all this issue. I'm gonna work on myself where I have messed up, where I have sinned. I'm gonna make that up. I'm gonna make up." I mean, could you understand what could happen in the life of a child if a parent who was not listening, who was not caring, who was more busy with their social life, decided, you know, didn't say it maybe, but they came home and began to fourfold make it up to that child in the places that they had sinned, in the places. Could you imagine what would happen?
Amen.
You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say this. Could you imagine if a church stopped being religious and actually had transformed lives at home? Could you imagine what could happen?
What happened was Zacchaeus. He didn't just get saved. He got transformed. And Jesus said this.
Exactly what I came to do. By the way, that's exactly what he wants to do for you.
How do I do it?
You got to take it home. Not enough to perch yourself on a tree and watch him walk by. Got to take it home. Bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you.
Father, I pray that this sermon would be used in the hearts of our people. Lord, we're not here to beat people up. We're not here to make people feel guilty. They're dealing with that. Satan does a good enough job of reminding us of our faults. And we're not trying to minimize sin, and we're not trying to make light of sin. But Father, I wonder what could be done for the glory of Jesus Christ if we stopped playing church and started living at home the way we maybe act at church. And started not only having interest in Jesus Christ when we perch ourselves on a tree on Sunday morning, but actually took him home and began to read his word and began to spend time in prayer and began to try to act like Jesus Christ and began to try to be conformed to the image of your son. I just wonder the impact. I wonder what those people thought when Zacchaeus came to them and said, "Hey, listen, I stole from you and I want to make that up fourfold." I wonder if that were to happen here, I know that Jesus would be proud. And he would say, "That's exactly what I came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost." Father, I pray you'd help us. Father, I pray you'd transform lives. I pray you'd help us not to be forgetful hearers, not to just be playing at this thing, church, to deal with sin when it needs to be dealt with, and to make up the faults and the mistakes and the problems and the lying and the stealing and when we just looked out for ourselves, to make those up in the relationships that we're in, Lord, and to really begin to walk with you. The story of Zacchaeus is the story of a transformed man. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.